like me when I'm angry.
You want a podcast? Great. So you have some audio on your website that nobody goes to.
You're listening to Vandaltron's Curious World Podcast. Check it out, baby.
Labels. You're a African-American female from Harlem. So you belong to a certain group, and you should act a certain way, and you should think a certain way. You know, this ideology is going to be put on you, put on all of us. But what the real danger is, voluntarily subscribing to these ideologies, that because we look a certain way, because we dress a certain way, or we're from a certain area, that we should think a certain way. That's where labels go beyond to the realm of groupthink, which is a dangerous and sad place to be. You know, longtime listeners of this show know that, you know, it's called the Curious World Podcast because, you know, what we try to do is excavate modern ways of standardized thinking and getting really into the core of whatever a subject is, because we're all complex people. And, you know, and that's really the theme of this show. And I think, you know, the journey of everybody's lives, you know, we're not algorithms. We're not robots. And I think when you're young, subscribing to groupthink is okay because you need to create your identity. But then afterwards, at some point, you need to extrapolate all this information and say, okay, I like this, I don't like that. And that's when the individual emerges. And that's really when you find out who you are. It does take time. My guest today is such a unique, you know, talking about labels and busting them up. He identifies as a conservative, Black, New Yorker. He's red-pilled from the Bronx, and he's still in high school. A brilliant, brilliant young man. I enjoyed the hell out of this conversation. I learned so much. You can follow him on Twitter. It's at Rodriguez Kalik. Rodriguez is, you know, if you, you know, like, just like Alex Rodriguez. I'll spell his first name, K-H-A-L-I-Q. So without further delay, my Curious World Podcast conversation with the great Kalik Rodriguez starts right now.
Yeah.
So how did this all start for you?
When I got into politics or when I became a conservative?
I guess let's start with the politics.
Okay. I'd say back during the presidential election when I was in middle school, this was like end of seventh grade, going into eighth grade, we talk a lot in social studies class about politics with my teacher. We'd mostly start when we were going through current events articles, and we'd watch CNN student news. So, yeah.
Did your political point of view shift from then to now?
Yes, definitely. So when I first started, I was a major Bernie Sanders supporter. Like, crazy about it. Everybody in my school was. We all had Bernie pins. Like, I mean, the teachers supported it and stuff. We talked about it. Mostly because, I mean, at that time I was like, hey, who wouldn't? Like, we're offered free college. Like, I'll take that. Why not? Right? So we were all talking about these things. I remember we'd, like, talk about, it's like, hey, like, all these other countries have, you know, free college, free healthcare, et cetera, et cetera. Like, why don't we? So with the teachers kept on talking to us about Bernie Sanders, how great he was, I mean, of course I would have supported him. I look up to them, so.
So what caused the shift?
Okay, yeah, so what caused the shift? I would say, like, the very first time I watched this PragerU video, and I thought it was, like, crazy. I was like, hold on. It was about, like, it was the, I'm trying to remember the exact name. I'm not going to remember the exact name, but it was, like, the, it was, like, the truth about the Democratic Party. It's, like, the unfortunate truth of the Democratic Party, or the history behind it. So I watched it, and I was like, you know, I couldn't believe that these things were true. And I did my research. There's a lot of different claims of whether the parties had switched and whatnot. I mean, that's also debatable. But, I mean, I just, I'd done a lot of research, and I first came across this PragerU video. And as you know, YouTube shows you videos of what's related to what you've watched. So I subscribed to their channel.
Oh, you get on that rabbit hole of like, yes, so like you may like this.
Yeah, so you start going down, you could dig deeper, and I came across Candace Owens. I started watching her videos from, like, the very beginning, as soon as her channel came out. I think I was, like, maybe one of, like, the first 200 subscribers or so. Like, I mean, I loved her videos. And then, but then after I watched her videos, I would make sure to do, like, my own research. And, I don't know, I just started seeing holes in what my teachers were telling me about, you know, just things about politics.
So are you, do you engage your fellow students and teachers in political conversations?
No, I try not to, just because...
Are people in your school, are they aware of your politics?
Some people, not many.
So you're like Batman, like you kind of have a disguise, like once you got on Twitter, then you're like,
I mean, I guess so. Like, I mean, some things I will say and people know. For example, we were supposed to write satirical essays in English class, and I wrote one about feminism, and it was kind of satirical, and a lot of people in my class hated it. The teacher, which I was really glad about, she didn't show any feeling at all, which I think was great. She just stayed very neutral on both sides of anyone's essays, and it was mostly about, like, Trump and feminism and how radical it could be. And still understanding that, like, I support, like, you know, historical feminism, but not modern day feminism.
Right.
And so people do know, like, my political views, but I'm not extremely open about it because I just don't want to get into a lot of arguments all the time. But.
Right. Do you find that there's more friction with your peers, your classmates, or faculty and teachers?
I'd say it's a mix. So when I was in middle school, I mean, because at the end of eighth grade is when I started realizing, like, closer to, like, the end of the election is when I started realizing that I was, like, a conservative. Or, like, hadn't labeled myself conservative at that point, but I was starting to lean towards those issues. If I had said anything in school, like, it'd just be total, like, that just doesn't make any sense. We went on a trip to Washington, D.C., and I remember our teachers told us, there was a group of students, their school, I remember talking to them, because we went to the Museum of, like, News, I think it was, in D.C., and there were a lot of students there. There was a school from Virginia, and there was a group of students from that school that were wearing Make America Great Again hats. And the teachers told us, like, we should have, like, a conversation with them about how, like, you know, that's not supportive to the rest of the people. Like, that's, like, not supportive to, like, the community or whatever. Something like that. And I went along with it. I remember my friend, she told them about, like, how they were bigots. And at that time, I had no idea what that word meant. I was like, oh, yeah, you guys are definitely bigots, you know? And you're really misogynistic. I had no idea what misogynistic meant back in eighth grade, but I knew I kept hearing it from my teachers, so that's what I said. I'd say in high school, I would have more discourse with my peers over my teachers, but, I mean, maybe if I were in a politics class, it'd be different. I'm not sure.
And what grade are you in?
10.
So have you been keeping up to date about, you know, some of the battles for free speech on college campuses and some of the political correctness that is going on? So how do you feel about that? And I mean, and how do you feel about your post-secondary education goals? I don't want to presume. I mean, what do you think about all that?
So I actually talked about it. We were supposed to choose a social issue in history class and relate it to, what was it called? We were supposed to relate it to the Enlightenment. And so I chose what's free speech on college campuses and what's considered hate speech and what isn't. And so I'm very, when I look into that topic, I mean, it's kind of like, even though I don't agree with something that someone might say and it could be deemed quote-unquote hate speech, honestly, it sounds bad to some people, but it doesn't really affect me. Like, why? I mean, if someone says, oh, like, you know, am I allowed to curse on here?
Yeah.
Okay, if someone says, like, oh, fuck you niggers, like, somewhere else, like, I honestly don't, like, care, like, it's just,
but I guess what I'm referring to is, you know, the you know, the indoctrination mm-hmm. of, you know, these certain colleges. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with Evergreen with yeah. Brett Weinstein, how he you know, he had there was a thing where I forget what it's called, like Payback Day or something, where traditionally all, you know, black students mm-hmm. stayed away traditionally that day. And then this particular year, it was suggested that the white faculty and white students should be home. And this professor said, well, wait a minute, that didn't sound right. Maybe we should talk about it. And he, you know, the pile-on started to occur. And that's just one incident. You know, you think of, like, you know, Ben Shapiro, when he goes on college campuses, he has these armed guards yeah. and he's just Ben Shapiro. So there seems to be an unevenness.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, you know, how you're thinking about this as college may be on the horizon for you.
I see. Okay. I see exactly what you're talking about, like, political speakers coming onto college campuses.
Just the whole, like, environment of college.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I have thought about it, and I'm kind of, I don't know if afraid is the wrong word to use here, but just, like, when I go to college, I don't think that, like, my values would be accepted. I mean, I've even had people when I was like, oh, I'm going to start this Twitter page. They were like, one of my old teachers from a long time ago was like, you know, I support your views, but, you know, like, what about when you apply to these different institutions? Will they support you? I mean, I don't think so, but, you know, I guess if my views aren't supported, then...
That is a good point. Academia, for whatever reason, is very left-leaning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can name all the schools, right?
Yes.
So Yale, Columbia, Dartmouth, they've all had incidents in the past year or so of, you know, very polarizing liberal politics.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to your point, you know, you are very politically polarizing, and you've got, I see that you're starting to, you know, your supporters are starting to swell, but I think that what I'm, to coin your own phrase, a little fearful about is some of those gatekeepers are very, very far left.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. So is that something that you consider, or are you just like, hey, I'm just going to be me?
I mean, yeah, I've definitely considered it, but I feel like, I mean, if I'm not me, then it's like almost, what's the point? And they also talk about colleges. I mean, I feel like both sides, like, politics needs to stay out of, like, just education, period. Unless it's like a political science class or something like that. I just feel like on camp, like, I don't know, if we're talking, just, why are we talking about, when I think about middle school, like, why are we talking about the election in class, and it almost had nothing to do with class, and then the teacher sides with a specific side, and I mean, of course, I would see nothing wrong with it as a liberal, like, back then, but as a conservative now, I see that there's a problem, but even if a conservative had said their views in class, like, as a teacher, I don't think that's okay, because students look up to teachers, and it's almost like, you know, if you had a teacher teaching you for 3 years or so and you've grown a relationship with that teacher, it's almost like they're almost like your second parent. Like, you listen to a lot of things they say because they're your teacher.
It becomes almost like a cult.
Yeah.
Right? So this is what we believe in, and you should believe in it too.
Mm-hmm.
So how is this... Like I said, so in the beginning of the show, I said, you know, you're very polarizing. You're a young person in New York City, African-American, who is a conservative politics. Let's unpack some of that. So in New York, as you know, we're both in New York, it's very liberal, right? So when the issue of politics comes up in the African-American community within your circle, do you get a sense of friction, or are people all open-minded of like, oh, okay, you're making a lot of sense?
No, definitely not. I mean, open-mindedness, you've probably heard this before, liberals, you know, preaching open-mindedness, but then so many times if it's not in agreement with their views, then it's not supposed to be talked about. We were just sitting at lunch the other day, my friend, she was talking about how they were talking about Kanye West, and she felt like she couldn't talk about it. It's like, you know, if there's views and you think something differently, then you can't say that you think something differently, because the norm is, you know, if you're black, you're supposed to be liberal. And I'm not saying that all black people should be conservative. I mean, just do you, like, think whatever you want to think, but I think that it should be accepting if, like, there should be an open dialogue, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to throw out some names for you, okay. and I just want to get some of your impressions of them, right? So you kind of segued to him. So Kanye, what do you think of what he's been doing lately?
Yeah, so I think what he said was good.
I mean, he's around the turning point, folks. Yes. Now he's around, yeah. Charlie Kirk and Candace Owens.
Yeah, I think what he said was good, and I think it needed to be said. I don't think he provided much substance, so I'm not really sure exactly where he is on the spectrum. But like, I think what he said needed to be said, and I think it's unfair that almost every news outlet other than Fox has almost completely bashed him. Like, they haven't really had any segments that said, like, you know, let's maybe think about what he said. It was just almost like, these black community leaders said that he's bad because of this. I was in a cab the other day, and I was listening to the radio, and this guy was on the cab, like, on the radio, was talking about how Kanye West was a coon. I mean, like, we need to stop using that language. Like, just earlier today, someone on Twitter commented about how I was a coon and an Uncle Tom. I mean, like, Uncle Tom led black people.
What were they? Were they...
They were black. Almost always, black people are the people that call other black people Uncle Tom.
You know what I find interesting is, you know, liberalism has this cloak where I think white people are just kind of itching to call out other black people in the name of, okay, well, we're all liberals, right? We're mm-hmm. all on the same side, right? I've seen, well, just since we're talking about him, as evident of there was these two white comedians who are super liberal, mm-hmm. and they were saying like, oh, well, he needs to be medicated or something like that. So, but if we were to flip that, right? Mm-hmm. So think about like, if Kanye was saying some really progressive air quotes things and saying things that were bashing Trump, and you had two white guys saying like, oh, he needs to be medicated, he's just this black guy, or I'm paraphrasing what they said. Mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes liberalism gives white people kind of like this license to be kind of racist.
I definitely understand what you're saying, because I did watch that, and it's, I'm thinking back about it, and the thing is, two things. If Kanye West had said something progressive and bashing Trump, first of all, it wouldn't even be news.
Yeah, I mean, join the crowd.
Exactly. Like, yeah. You know, black people bashing Trump, great, continue what you're doing. Secondly, I mean, these people, these two white comedians who are saying, you know, he needs to get medicated, if there were conservative white comedians that said that, it would be racist and it would be news, because you know, it's racist to say that a black person needs to be medicated for the views that they're saying. But because it's against the norm,
exactly,
it's okay to say that. Because they actually, like, really think that Kanye West needs to be medicated. It's ridiculous.
So I'm going to throw another name at you. Hillary Clinton.
I just posted about her.
I know. I couldn't respond, and I knew you were coming. I was like, whoa.
Okay, what do you want? Where do you want to start?
What are some of your impressions of her?
I mean, from the start, I never really liked her. I mean, of course, coming from being originally a Bernie Sanders supporter, I mean, how could I? But, I mean, as I progressed further towards conservatism, I started disliking her even more as I've seen the things she did. And, I mean, maybe about 3 weeks ago, I saw that clip, but I just never got around to tweeting about it because I just felt like there were more important things. But, I mean, the fact that she actually said on video that her mentor was a KKK leader and then said that she supported him and she still supports him.
Can you clarify, just for people listening, okay, who haven't read read what you wrote?
I forgot the name of the guy because, hold on one second.
I can pull it up.
His name is Robert Byrd.
Right.
He's
good old Robert Byrd.
Yeah. Robert Byrd. He was a Democrat until 2010, and Hillary Clinton's mentor. I mean, the fact that that wasn't even news surprises me. It's just, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's not even surprising. Like, why would CNN or the rest of them report about that if they wanted Hillary Clinton to win anyway? I mean, a KKK member said that they supported Donald Trump, and suddenly Donald Trump supports the KKK. But if Hillary Clinton says that she supports a KKK member, she's not racist at all. It's this crazy double standard, and it's ridiculous. I mean, I don't like Hillary Clinton at all. She said plenty of other things. She said black people were super predators. Mm-hmm. I mean, people talk about how Donald Trump disliked and openly talked about how he hated the Central Park Five. But here's my argument. Hillary Clinton also did the same exact thing. But Hillary Clinton was, you know, she had political power, or her husband had political power. Donald Trump had no political power whatsoever. So how would Donald Trump speaking about the Central Park Five affect anyone? Hillary Clinton speaking about the Central Park Five and her husband incarcerating the most black people out of any, you know, president ever. I don't understand how people, like, black people still like the Clintons. Like, that just surprises me. I think that the Clintons treat black people, and I feel like Democrats in general, treat black people as if we're the uneducated vote. I mean, you've probably heard this before if you listen to Candace Owens' channel. She talked about how there was a clip of Hillary Clinton talking about how she had hot sauce in her bag.
Yeah, I remember the
to black people.
There was a guest appearance where she was on a panel,
yes,
and she pulled it out.
And then one of the people on the show was like, "Oh, are you trying to pander to black people?" She's like, "Yes, definitely."
Yeah,
it's open. I mean, she brings Jay-Z on the stage.
Yeah,
knows none of his lyrics. I mean, it's another person I don't like. Into that later if we talk about it. Yeah, my views on Hillary Clinton, as you can hear, I don't like her. I think she is actually racist. I mean, there's proof of it.
Probably a murderer.
Yeah, probably.
There's been like at least 7 people have been suicided after giving reports that were negative toward her or the Clinton Foundation. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the media and how the media is very, very one-sided, very agenda-oriented. How would you suggest people get their news?
I think, so here, for example, I'm a conservative, right? And I may like Fox News, but I find Fox News to be a helpful source, but not necessarily a good one. I think it's a good source, but I don't think, not everything is, or it's very swayed. And it's the same way for any of the other major media sources, the liberal ones. You look at CNN, ABC, etc., etc. Those are very liberal sources. I think if you look at both of those and then you look at very like sources that are in the center, then like if you look at one piece of news or one story and then look at three different sources, one in the center, one on the left, and one on the right, then you can come to your own conclusion, whether it be liberal, conservative, or anywhere in between. Because I don't think that they're not going to stop reporting in their own way. I mean, everyone has their own agenda. And, of course, like I said, CNN wouldn't have reported about Hillary Clinton supporting Robert Byrd because they wanted her to win.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the media, they're just so so angry. Mm-hmm. And just so, they were so invested in Hillary winning. And when she didn't, I think there was that moment of complete depression.
I mean, she had fireworks on the Hudson River.
Yeah. And then after that depression comes anger. Yeah. And so that's what we're like, there are people who, not just the media, but, you know, people in, mm-hmm. in our city who are very angry. Like, yes. They will get every day. I feel like people just wake up and want to find something to be outraged about.
Very true. I was actually, like driving down or the FDR, and there was this guy had his middle finger up, and he was like, I'm Native American, fuck Trump. I was like, what do you even, like, what is the exact reason of you disliking Trump? I feel like a lot of people, if you ask them why they don't like Donald Trump, they have no, like, real evidence. They're just like, you know, he's racist because yep. That's what the news says. He's racist.
It's opinion based.
Yes.
So this is an interesting point that I think that you bring up. I think we're getting into a point now in our society where we're putting more value on character rather than facts. So like you said, so I do a poll too of like, what do you think of, you know, what do you think of Trump? And of course, you know what the, he's a sexist, he's a racist, he hates this and this, but that's, it's not like he's, he committed perjury. He committed collusion. Mm-hmm. Where those are substantiated, those are facts. Obviously, he hasn't done those yet. My point is, it's all character. And so Trump is people judge him as a character. They judge you and me when we go into a room. Boom, we're a character based on how we're going to, maybe the way we're dressed that day. The fact that you look a certain way, I look a certain way. We're of a different age, all kinds of things. And so I think people take that in and they project how they feel about our groups mm-hmm. onto you, onto me. And that's how our character is to them. And so all our skills, all our background, our experience, that's us trying to say, hey, wait a minute, I'm more than this thing that you're seeing. But I get the impression now that because of groupthink and, you know, everybody wants to pick a tribe, that we're putting so much weight on character over facts.
That's true. Can I talk about something?
Sure, of course.
So today, another guy on Twitter who's been commenting a lot of my things, I think he's a Harvard graduate, this black guy, he was commenting because someone had said to him, like, you know, there's been a lot of people that are like, black people need to get off the quote-unquote slave plantation of the Democratic Party. And so he was like, you know, I'll never vote for a Republican because I have Republicans calling me a slave. And so I talked about it and I said, you know, now that you say that, I understand what you're saying about, you know, some people saying that, but I think that he was labeling all Republicans and all conservatives to be saying these things. And or like, you know, some people label all conservatives to be racist. I don't even think many conservatives are racist. I think it's just what the media portrays. I think it's like people understand this kind of like group and they judge them. They almost create a character. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's easier that way. Mm-hmm. It's easier. I mean, you know, this person, you know, this person went to this school or this person lives in this neighborhood. Okay. Bam. Okay. I get it. Like, I'm going to put you in a box mm-hmm. and then that's it. Exactly. And then, so I think what liberals do is they see certain minority groups as pets and say like, and then like someone like you or you know, who don't think or behave like they want, then yeah, they're gonna get, there's gonna create some friction.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the craziest thing is, like, if I were a white person saying these views, it'd just be like shrugged off as, oh, it's just another racist person. But like now it's even worse. It's not just another racist person. It's like there's a black person saying conservative values that has conservative values. You're not racist. You're like an Uncle Tom coon that's like against the black community. I've had so many people that told me that I'm trying to break down the black community just by saying what I'm saying. I'm not. Honestly, I'm like, if you just look at almost everything I tweet about and I talk about, I try to back it up with statistics, like, you know, and facts, because the thing is, I'm not lying about what I'm saying. I'm telling the truth that, you know, I talk about it all the time about welfare, and that, you know, 43% of black people are on welfare at the moment, according to the census. That's a disaster. I mean, we can't keep sitting around waiting on the government to give us money. I mean, I'll talk about that more if you want, but...
Well, I mean, look at all major cities like Chicago, mm-hmm. Detroit, Los Angeles. I mean, what do they all have? Even New York City, what do they all have in common? They all have Democratic mayors.
Yes.
And so they have huge subsidized programs that they can't afford, and it and they end up doing nothing with them.
Exactly. If you, do you want to talk about it?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So, I mean, to go deeper into the statistics, like past the statistics, because that's what I talk about on Twitter, because it's hard to, like, you know, really get your point across on there with the amount that you can say and one body of text, I guess. But I just feel like if we stopped relying on the government for everything in terms like monetary thing, if we stopped relying on the government for welfare, then people would be incentivized to go work or start their own businesses, because they know that they don't have, like, you know, something to fall back on. I think welfare should exist, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it should exist for, like, working people that are able-bodied that can work. Most definitely not, because just, I think, just people that are disabled or the elderly, because, like, I keep saying this, welfare incentivizes people not to work. I was watching this one video, and I don't know the exact numbers, but I believe in California, from what I was reading in some article, I think you can get like over $500 for each kid you have on welfare. I mean, if this is true, that is a disaster. That's why you have like black mothers that are having kids, the fathers aren't staying in the picture, and then they're getting paid all this money from the state. And in some states, in plenty of states, you can make more money on welfare than you can make on minimum wage.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, why would you incentivize? Yeah, exactly. There's no incentive.
So we're incentivizing people to stay on welfare instead of working a job. And if they have no education, then there's no reason for them to get a job over minimum wage. I think it's three things that are the problem in the black community. I think it's government, it's waiting around on the government, so dependency, black on black crime, and just education. I think those are the three major things that are the problem. We have bad education, and if you look at it, look, we have bad education in all of these cities that are run by Democrats. I talked about it the other day. Look at New York. There's school districts are separated by district. School districts are separated by districts, but they're almost separated along racial lines, if you look at it, with neighborhoods. Why is it that District 3 in Manhattan is almost completely the Upper West Side, and then District 5 is Harlem, which has been historically a black neighborhood until the recent gentrification? Like, that's clearly a problem, but then the schools are better in District 3 versus District 5, and Harlem's had failing schools as long as I've been alive. I mean, I don't see why we keep voting for the same people, but we keep having the same issues for the last 40 or 50 years.
Exactly. And I think what's currently in place is more government.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I am a gatekeeper of that, I'm not going to change that.
Exactly.
And in terms of the school system, there was something, I think the other day, where they were doing some rezoning in the Upper West Side.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these these like, I don't know if you saw this, these super liberal parents were like, whoa, no, no, that's not happening. That's not happening in my school. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought you wanted multiculturalism in your school.
We have the most segregated school system in the country, yet we're the most diverse city in the world. I mean, how do we have schools that are like, why are schools almost all black? And then you pick a school downtown and it's almost all white, because schools are segregated based on districts. So it's no longer, it's not saying that schools are segregated. It's like, oh, only white people can go here, only black people can go here. But then all it's saying instead is, you know, it's like people from this neighborhood can go to that school and people from that neighborhood can go to school, this school, etc. So the problem is, I think that there's like, you know, what's it called? I'm sorry. I think that there's institutionalized racism. I couldn't think of the word. I think that there's institutionalized racism. And the problem is that it's mostly made by the people that we're voting for.
Yep.
I mean, like, seriously, the cities that we're living in, they're controlled by the same people we're voting for. And then we're complaining about those problems. And then those people that we're voting for will tell us it's because of racism that those problems exist. But it's because of the laws that they made. That's why those problems exist. I mean, school districts exist because of Democrats in cities creating school districts.
It's a cycle.
Exactly.
I mean, it's and that's like you, like we were saying, it's each that's one thing that it's congruent to all these urban cities.
Mm-hmm.
A Democratic mayor.
Exactly.
What are some of your current influences? I know we talked about Candace and probably, I assume, Charlie Kirk. What are some of your other influences?
I mean, it was originally them. I'd say Prager University, but I haven't been watching as many of their videos as of late. Just my own research, to be honest, mostly, which, yeah, like I said, it's like taking different media sources from both sides and then thinking about it, because I'm not very conservative on all things. I'd say probably social issues more liberal. But I think even conservatives are becoming more liberal on social issues. I think that's just changing.
Well, I think the important thing is that you're at the buffet table and you're picking what you want.
Exactly.
I think otherwise you become tribal, mm-hmm. and you know, which I do see. And I think it's wrong on either side, mm-hmm. but I see that more on liberals than conservatives. Of, you know, it's, you know, the March for Women. No, it's not. It's the March against Trump. Everything is against Trump. Come on, just say it.
I won't mention my school's name, but I will say my school had a March for Our Lives march. I was glad they gave me the opportunity to stay in school. I was maybe one of like 15 students out of a school body of maybe 500 that stayed back and didn't go on the march. And to be honest, the march, originally they said it was to pay condolences to these people from Parkland, the students from Parkland. It had nothing to do with paying condolences. Half the people there were marching about taking away the Second Amendment, and the other half were talking about, you know, gun control. And then you ask these people what gun control they want, and they can't even tell you, or if they tell you, long story. But
right. So their solution is just take all the guns, throw them in the ocean, and we'll be done.
That doesn't work.
Well, yeah. I guess that's a rabbit hole. But yeah, when you think of like Waco and all these compounds that have these guns, they've tried this, mm-hmm. and they've tried to disarm these highly militarized camps. You know, it's like putting toothpaste back in the tube. You can't do it.
Yeah.
You can try, but in that example, Ruby Ridge, there were high casualties from the ATF and the FBI. Mm-hmm. From a practical reason, that doesn't make sense. And from a alienable right, I mean, the Second Amendment was not created for hunting. It was created for in case the government becomes needs to be governed themselves by the citizens. I think when this always comes up for me, I always encourage people to read their constitution.
Yes.
Or just read in general, but just read their constitution. Just b- before we run out of time, I'm curious, I guess this is kind of a sideway question. With all this, this must be kind of, I would imagine this is taxing for you to some degree when you have people who don't know you are jumping on you in Twitter, calling you names, saying you're stupid, questioning your intelligence. How do you deal with that? How do you relax? How do you take this in and not just become a very vindictive person? Or maybe you are, I don't know.
No. I mean, yes, I've had loads of people tell me, you know, don't listen to him because he's a high school student or he's stupid or he's black, so he shouldn't be saying these things. But I mean, I just kind of ignore them because it's the same thing as I keep saying about, you know, someone else is racist. It's, oh well. Like, how are they going to affect my lives? They're not. Them calling me a coon or stupid or Uncle Tom is not going to affect my life in a poor way at all. I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing, and I'm going to continue speaking my mind.
So I got a listener email just very recently saying that he was in a small town in Michigan. You know, he has people in his neighborhood. They don't talk like him. They don't think like him. You know, he has no friends. And the show is kind of podcasts in general is kind of an outlet. What would you say to somebody that is listening right now that may be in that situation that are surrounded by people that don't share their worldview and in fact that are very frustrated because they're surrounded by groupthink or ideologies that are trying to be thrust upon them. And all they want to do is break free and think for themselves.
Well, no matter what ideology you're a part of, try to find, I guess, people that are a part of your ideology and try to find people to relate to. Because I think everyone needs to be with like people that we relate to. I think that's just how people are. That's another conversation. But, I mean, yeah, and be a free thinker. Like, keep doing what that guy's doing, whatever you're doing. Just don't let the people in the town tell you not to be.
Awesome. So one final question for you. So if you were to go back in time and prior to the election when you were still rooting for Bernie, what would you say to that version of you?
Don't listen to everything your teachers say. Yeah,
I think that's great advice. Don't listen to, I guess, don't go whole hog on everything that anybody says. Khalik, where can people find you on social media?
I have a Twitter page named at Rodriguez Khalik, RodriguezKhalik.
And if you're driving or running on your treadmill, you don't have to stop and write it down. This will be on the RSS feed of the podcast, and you can click on it and it'll take you straight to Khalik's Twitter page. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
All right. So, sweet listeners, thank you as always. You're a part of this conversation too. You're just in the quiet side. So I appreciate you, and till next time. Follow the leader, the rhyme will go deaf with the record that was mixed a long time ago. It could be done, but only I could do it. For those that can dance and clap your hands to it. I start to think, and then I sink into the paper like I was ink. When I'm writing, I'm trapped in between the line. I escape. When I finish the rhyme, I got soul, soul, soul. The stage is empty. A beat like this might tempt me to pose, show my rings and my fat gold chain. Grab the mic like I'm on Soul Train, but I wait, cause I master this. Let the others go first so the brothers don't miss. Eric B, break the sticks. You got it. Rock him will begin when you make the mix. I'll experiment like a scientist. You wanna rhyme? You gotta sign my list. Cause I'm a manifest and bless the mic I hold. You want an X? Then you gotta have soul. Cause if you ain't got it, I'ma make an encore. Take the mic, make the people respond for the R. Cause that's the way it'll have to be. If you wanna get on after me, think about it. Wait, erase your rhyme. Forget it. And don't waste your time.
cause I'll be in the crowd if you ain't controlling it. Drop the mic, you shouldn't be holding it. This is how it should be done. This style is identical to none. Some try to make it sound like this, but you're getting me so upset that I'm wet cause you're sweating me. I drip steam like a microphone fiend. Ego to MC is my theme. I get hype when I hear a drum roll. Rock him is on the mic, and you know I got soul.
You got it. You got it.
Say my name. First of all, I'm the soloist, the soul controller. Rakim gets stronger as I get older. Constant elevation causes expansion. I write my rhymes while I cool in my mansion. They put it on tape and in the city I test it. Then on the radio, the R's requested. You listen to it, the concept might break you. Cause almost anyone can relate to. Whoever's out of hand, I'ma give them handles. Light them up, blow them out like candles. Or should I just let them melt? To give them a hand so they can see how I felt. I'm not bold just cause I rock gold. Rock him is on the mic, and you know I got soul.
Soul, soul, soul. You got, you got, you got it. You got, you got, you got it.
To see what you got. Get off the mic before it get too hot. I wanna see which posse can dance the best. It should be easy cause the beat is fresh. Now feel from uptown, Brooklyn bound, the Bronx, Queens, or Long Island Sound. Even other states come right and exact. It ain't where you're from, it's where you're at. Since you came here, you have to show and prove. And do that dance until it don't move. That's all you need is soul, self-esteem, and release. The rest is up to you. Rakim, say peace.